at the Aquarius Resort, and that's on the beautiful Colorado River here in Laughlin, Nevada. Dr. Stephen Greer talked last night. It was, I'm sorry, Dr. Greer, I wanted to make it. I tried, but we just didn't get here in time. How did the event go? I'm sure it went great. It always does.
Well, it was a great crowd, and we've met some very important folks who came to meet me here, who I think are going to help us move this whole issue further down the towards the goal line.
You mentioned issue, and let's introduce everyone. Of course, most people know about you and the Disclosure Project, but you've been doing a lot of personal events the last year. You got a lot of things scheduled this year.
Yes, well, of course, we've always had the CSETI project, the CE5 initiative.
Right.
And we have these expeditions where we go out to the desert or go out to areas, and we train people to learn how to vector these ET craft in and interact with the extraterrestrial beings.
Right.
And,
in the spring, we talked to you just before you were ready to go out, I remember, on a retreat. Were you successful? You always are, I understand.
Yes. Well, actually, we just came from Joshua Tree about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and Joshua Tree Wilderness, and we were there and had an extraordinary event happen where a brilliant object came right over the group and shone this light in the middle of the national park into the group, and it was an extraterrestrial vehicle that we have seen in that same area. We have a research site, and we're going to actually be going back there in the fall. We have a trip planned for the Outer Banks of North Carolina for April, and in Colorado, not far from here, we're going to be doing an expedition in the high desert in the Crestone area in June, and then we'll be at Mount Shasta in September. And what these are is we train people to go through a set of protocols that involve not only the use of lasers and tones and electromagnetic signaling, but consciousness and directed thought to interact with these objects. And one of the things that folks have a hard time understanding is what's the connection between the mind and matter. And this is a situation where it gets into areas that people, some aren't comfortable with, but the science is very solid there. And that is that conscious mind is non-local. It's a field of awareness that's omnipresent. And that the extraterrestrial civilizations, for their communication systems, interface directly with a bioelectromagnetic field and with consciousness and thought. And so we use a set of techniques to train people to be able to remote view and then use the remote viewing capability to then vector through coherent thought these extraterrestrial craft into an area. And we've had some very close encounters. One of these craft that materialized, we had a group of about 30 people, right outside our circle at about 15 feet above us. And it came over, it made the most unusual sound, wow, 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 like this. It appeared and then dematerialized and was seen by everyone there. And we are continuing to have these sort of encounters and train people to do it because I think since there have not been adequate responses from governments around the world, and the response that there has been classified and often hostile, we, the people, have to say we're going to be ambassadors to these visitors. We need to acknowledge they're here. And what is going to be the response? Are we going to sit here and let a vacuum exist into which a very violent military response occurs? Or are we going to step up to the plate and become ambassadors from Earth to these visitors and try to reach out to them? And that's what we're doing with the CE5 initiative. And that's the program that we have in CSETI.
Yeah, I know you want to get into the other things, and we want to get more back to the contact with Joshua Tree and the exopolitical things that are happening. But you go ahead and tell me a little bit about some of the other activities you're having, and then we'll go back to those. One thing before we do that, though, Dr. Greer, it seems pretty evident. We've tried some experiments ourselves, and other people have as well. It seems that if you're looking for something to call up, sometimes it happens. And I guess you've really honed this in with these little clinics. So they can see a UFO.
Yeah, when the interest is not in seeing one, because they want to see one. We have plenty of videos and photographs. The purpose is to train people to be ambassadors, literally ambassadors, to these visitors, because the UFO isn't important. Most UFOs that people see aren't even extraterrestrial. They're alien reproduction vehicles made at Lockheed Skunk Works. We're interested in training people to understand that they need to be conscious ambassadors to these visitors for the purpose of universal peace and creating this early stages of a relationship between humanity and these visitors. That's our responsibility. And I think that that's what these training expeditions are really oriented towards. And it isn't a matter of, let's call in a UFO so people can see one and be entertained. It's a much deeper and more profound purpose than that. I don't think that these visitors want to interact with people who are that facile and superficial in their thinking. I'm convinced they want to interact with people who understand that we're at a time where we have got to move the relationship out of the shadows of these shadowy government projects into a more open disclosure, but also a more open and peaceful level of contact, and that humans have to take the initiative on this planet to reach out and welcome these visitors here. And so that's what we're doing. And it's a very profound change from the status quo. Most people want to go out and do a sky watch, and maybe they'll see one of these objects. Well, I don't see the value in that. Those have been seen hundreds of thousands of times, millions of times perhaps over the last 60 years. The question is, how do you take it from that to something that's now a relationship? And that is what we want to train people to do.
And now, at Joshua Tree, do you feel like you developed a relationship?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we have had not only these objects on the ground or hovering around the ground, but the extraterrestrial beings outside the vehicles interacting with us.
Did that happen in Joshua Tree?
Yes, sir. It absolutely is happening.
Well, tell me about the extraterrestrial beings. Does everybody see them? I mean, are they there?
Yeah, well, it depends on how fully they are in the three-dimensional.
You're talking about the beings themselves.
The actual beings themselves. But, for example, at Joshua Tree in November, there were four of them that were completely materialized right outside the circle that the people saw. And we're interacting with the group.
When they interact, are you're talking about some sort of communication, or what?
It depends. Yes, there can be communication. There can be just a sort of a welcoming. A lot of times, these things happen on the level of thought, but the actual presence is very physical and visible.
So you can see them.
Yes, and we have on our website at csetti.org. Extraterrestrial communication that came into the center of our circle in Virginia when we were doing one of these expeditions just past October. And we of course showed that last night here. And it's fascinating. It was only visible with the infrared shot on the camera. But some people were able to see it as sort of a scintillating area that came in out of space and came right into the center of the circle and was standing there shimmering. And this was a device that's used. It's a conscious technology. And we have to understand that extraterrestrial technologies that go beyond the speed of light are involving areas of energy, you might call it, that deal with, the mystics would used to call it etheric or astral, but it's dealing with areas of science and technology that gets into the conscious thought realm. But they are physical technologies, and we actually were able to film one of these devices as it came right into the center of the circle, and it's quite an amazing bit of footage.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it, and they can see part of that on the website, correct? As far as your next meeting, when will that be? That'll be in the South, I think, and then
April at the Outer Banks. Mm-hmm. Although that is foot.
That leads me to the question, how do you qualify to get into one of these groups?
There's an application, and the main thing is the intention of the person to be there for peaceful intentions and unselfish intentions. It's a serious program. It is not, as I said, a sky watch to go out and watch the sky. It is a training for people to literally become ambassadors to these visitors, and for the purpose of being a bridge from the current state of humanity to the future.
Last night in your the speech, I know you talked about the future, the next 500,000 years or so, I think, and what might be happening.
Well, we're at this time in history where one entire human evolution is closing and another era is opening. And the era that is opening is one, the hallmark of which is world peace and universal peace and the development of technologies that enable our civilization to live on this planet for hundreds of thousands of years without the need for destroying the environment and with enormous technological abundance for the entire planet. This doesn't exist today because this information and these technologies have been actively suppressed. A lot of people don't see the connection between the current state of the world, the war in Iraq, the geophysical crisis with global warming, as Al Gore would call it, the inconvenient truth, and the fact that this subject has been kept secret. This is the core of the reason for the mess we're in. The dysfunctional secrecy that was in place and Eisenhower, conservative Republican, patriotic, five-star general. And he was warning this because he was stabbed in the back by these interests after he had had a meeting with extraterrestrial beings at Edwards in 1954. And he was not allowed.
So you're convinced that happened?
I know that that happened. I have a document to that effect. And a foreign government has conveyed to me a first-hand person account from a person there with Eisenhower when it happened. And I have that document. So the point I'm making is that for 52 years, we have our leadership of this country and other countries have been denied the ability by an international a cabal of shadowy and powerful interests who are ruthless to bring this information out. Now, what I see happening, though, and what I talked about last night, is that that's changing. There are countries around the world that are now working with us openly.
Could you name one or two of those countries?
I can't right now.
Okay.
But that these countries are actively working with us to disclose their information and files, get this information out to the public. You're going to be seeing a lot of this in the media in the coming months, and also to initiate a long-term contact with these visitors. And this is long overdue. We have been asking the United Nations and other countries around the world to do this for 16 years. It should have happened in the 50s, but this whole matter was hijacked away from us. And the world we have today is really, and all the dysfunctional of environmental and geophysical and geopolitical problems we're having is the sort of blowback, if you want to look at it that way, from the enforcement of a secrecy on this issue. Because this issue is not just about the fact that we're not alone. And the majority of Americans believe that there's somebody hiding information about UFOs.
We'll be right back with Dr. Stephen Greer. We have a lot of people here at the Convention Center at the Aquarius Resort Hotel on the beautiful Colorado River during the UFO Congress. And I want to get with Dr. Greer when we come back. I want to find out, you got a lot of people to come forward from the military-industrial complex, and I want to find out how that stands at this time. This is Jerry Pippin, and this is the UFO virus. It happened almost 60 years ago, but the debate still rages. Did an alien spacecraft crash outside Roswell, New Mexico in 1947? The most concise and complete series ever broadcast on Roswell, direct from Roswell. New programs added weekly. Check it out on the UFO Files on JerryPippin.com. Jerry Pippin, the UFO Files. We're at the UFO Congress here in Laughlin, Nevada. Dr. Greer, before the break, we were asking you about all your military and industrial complex secrets. You have people come forward. I know several people. How do you find these people, in other words?
How do we find them? That's a very good question. We put out a call for people to come forward who are truly patriotic and who know that this secret has been managed illegally by rogue elements, and that the subject needs to be known by the public and that the technologies need to be known to benefit humanity. And we have to date had almost 500 military and intelligence and corporate people come forward to give us documents, testimony, and evidence. And we continue to make that request because I think that it's only when a lot of people, when you have, you know, lieutenant colonels and captains and people who've been in and coming together from diverse eras spanning over 50 years who are telling the same sort of events that have happened, or and with documentation to back it up, it proves this to a skeptical public who have been told none of this is true.
You know,
I think that's really important, is that there's not only security in numbers, there's credibility in numbers. And it has to happen. And we continue to ask people to come forward to do this.
You know, Dr. Greer, I always thought about that people coming forward on their patriotic duty, they wouldn't work. But I wrote a guy at the CIA that somebody gave me a name, and I wrote him and I said, I think you ought to consider it your patriotic duty to tell me. Well, he didn't tell me, but he didn't deny he didn't know something about it, and many people don't respond. But,
right.
So this patriotism is...
Yeah, but it's true patriotism, and we live in a global situation where both the environment and our economies are intertwined, and
a lot of people, I want to follow that up in a minute. I have a question before we get off the air about your contacts with the military, and it seems like you've almost given up on them. Maybe he has. Hi, what's your name?
I'm John Warnhoff.
Where you live?
Bowling Green, Kentucky.
And you have a question for Dr. Greer.
Yes, I do. With respect to our future and what you've colored as our future, the potential we could have, what can we do in our respective communities? Myself at age 65, someone else who's here maybe at age 40, when we get back, accommodate these changes?
I think knowledge is the greatest advantage. If people know, they can deal with it. And I think this is why people need to network their community to disclosureproject.org. And on that website, there's the testimony of many of these military witnesses. Seaspower.com, SEASpower.com is a website that has the energy program and a description of the technologies and the scientific papers that support what these technologies are, as well as a strategic overview of how we need to get this out. And the people have to be educated, so a lot of it is networking. And in every community, there are people who could also join us to be new witnesses who have been in the military or government who know of this. We're putting out a call for additional ones to come forward, and also who could help identify sources of support, whether it's institutional or individuals, so that an R&D effort can be put together in the next few months, so that the scientists that have been identified by our project who want to complete these sort of energy systems can get them so that homes and cars can be run on them. None of them are at that level yet. Even the best ones we've seen are not at the level where they've been developed, where you could actually put them into an application. But the science is there. And it's going to take several million dollars to put an engineering team together and make that happen. You're not going to come out with a fundamental new science and energy technology for a few thousand dollars and working out of your basement. At a certain point, you have to professionalize that effort. And so we have to find people who are willing to help us professionalize that effort before we run out of time. So this is something that needs to be done now. It should have been done 50 years ago. I wasn't but a couple years old 50 years ago. So all I say is that now we have identified the scientists and the witnesses and the contacts to do this. And I'm convinced we can make a run at it and make it happen. But we need...
Are you feel like you're getting enough support now, or is it better or worse, in other words?
Oh, no, there's growing support, but it's still inadequate. And it's inadequate to the task, and it's primarily been a problem with funding. Had been offered funding from corrupt sources, and we refused to take it. It has to be clean sources of support and funding.
So I don't imagine they're too bashful when they have the strings attached to this funding.
That's correct. And we tell them that we're not interested. Go away if there's strings attached.
I mean, but they're themselves about what you want
to say. Of course.
I
mean, the usual vulture capital scene is they, you know, want to take control of it, which is fine. Some of those folks may be sincere, but what's going to come along is Murder Incorporated is going to come along and threaten them, or they're going to get bought out, and then it'll be put on a black shelf again. And this has happened to hundreds, I'm not exaggerating, hundreds of inventors and inventions that have had been either confiscated or been suppressed, and up to and including murder. And the only way that's going to change is for people to openly come together as a coalition and do this to get this information out. And it's not just about the fact that we're not alone, it's the big issue is how are we as a civilization going to live on this planet so that we don't destroy the planet and destroy ourselves in the process.
You know, Dr. Greer, you're a peaceful man, and we mention murder. I mention murder occasionally. People's eyes glaze over, but it happens.
Absolutely.
And I think it's because of the technology, isn't it?
Yes, the big secrecy around this issue. After, in the 1940s and 50s, after they figured out how these technologies work, the industrial and economic interests, not just U.S., but internationally, decided this had to be kept secret. And it was primarily that decision. Now, there were certain other interests that wanted this secret for various orthodox reasons, perhaps religiously or what have you. But the dominant purpose for the secrecy has been economic and geopolitical power. Because if you have a device that generates energy and extracts it from the space around the device is what a quantum vacuum flux field device is. And what Lockheed and Northrop developed, they were the old days, they were called flux liners. And these are these so-called alien reproduction vehicles that people have seen zipping around. Their power-up system was a 24-volt marine battery. And then it went over unity, tapped into the quantum vacuum flux field, and off it went. Now, that is not mythology. We know people who've actually built them, the coils for that. I personally have interviewed men who've worked on these projects. Now, those technologies, if put into peaceful energy generation use, would have completely replaced all fossil fuel needs in the world in the 50s and 60s. All the global warming, all the poverty, all the Mideast wars, all this mess that's been going on could have been avoided. It didn't because of the interest of folks who want to keep a centralized economy and the power that that represents, the geopolitical power that represents, in their clutches. And we're only talking about, you know, 200 or 300 institutions, corporations, and individuals that really run the bulk of the world's economy. And this is a serious problem. And I think that the stranglehold they have on this situation is about to squeeze the life out of Earth. And I think
it seems
to
me that maybe somewhere in another country this might come forward. I mean, they have a lock here pretty much.
At disclosureproject.org, you'll see that in the disclosure book, we have a witness who described a project in 1960s, mid-60s, where the lunar orbiter that was imaging the moon before we landed was taking pictures, and that it was being into at Langley through a National Security Agency filtering system. And those images were in a facility, and it was an international group who were in that facility. It wasn't just U.S. So this, for decades, has been an international, transnational, paragovernmental effort that has been running these projects. It's not just the United States. And so people are mistaken when they say, oh, it's the U.S. government. Well, the U.S. government, per se, most people in it, and often the leadership of the U.S. government. I have personally briefed a sitting CIA director, members of the Senate Intelligence Committee, senior staff at the Pentagon, admirals and generals, who are desperate to find out about this stuff but are not in the compartmented operations that deal with it. And so essentially you have had a decapitation and a complete violation of the rule of law on this, and these rogue elements have taken it over. And it is not just U.S. It's a huge mistake to think that it's only a U.S. problem. It's an international, transnational entity that is doing this.
Let's go back to some other audience members here at the Aquarius Resort Hotel on the Colorado River in Laughlin at the UFO Congress. Hi.
Hello there.
What's your name?
Richard Moss.
Where are you from, Richard?
Long Prairie, Minnesota.
Okay. Got out of the cold.
Yeah, well, just barely.
You barely made it down here.
Yeah, right. Yeah. My question is, do you know or have any suspicions as to whether the current President Bush is in the loop on this, like his father seemed to be.
Was asked about this on the campaign trail a few years ago. And this is on the record. He said, well, I don't really know about that, but Dick Cheney would. Herbert Walker Bush, the current president's father, was involved in these issues. And it's the CIA director at that time. Not all CIA directors have been read into or involved in this issue, but he was. Jim Woolsey, who I personally briefed, was being blocked from information because he had not come up through the ranks. But George W. Bush's father was involved. And in fact, when he was during the transition to the Carter administration, Carter's people have told me that President Carter wanted to know about this issue and specifically asked the outgoing CIA director, Bush, about this. And he said, we will not tell you about this. Go to the Congressional Research Service and see if they will. So he was completely blown off. And eventually, of course, Alfred Weber has written an affidavit that we have about this at the White House for Carter. Was going to do a White House study on the UFO subject and had asked the Stanford Research International, SRI, to do this. But shadowy figures from the Pentagon showed up at SRI and threatened to pull all of their contracts with SRI if they did that for Carter. And so they pulled the plug on that White House study. So Carter was blocked from finding out about this. Now, of course, when Clinton was president, I put together a very large briefing document for the president. Lawrence Rockefeller hosted Bill and Hillary Clinton at his ranch in Wyoming, the J.Y. Ranch, where I had also been a visitor. Clinton was briefed on this, but he did not want to push the envelope on it. And my understanding from a good friend of Bill Clinton's who subsequently visited my home was that Mr. Clinton was frightened of the consequences of doing an executive order releasing this information to the public. But Jim Woolsey, the CIA director, was very supportive of ending the secrecy on this, said so publicly, in fact, on a radio interview after I had my three-hour meeting with him. Unfortunately, the president didn't have the courage to go on with that. Now, a lot of people have asked me, would Hillary do it? I said, I don't know. I'm not in her heart. We would hope that some leader at some point will do the right thing. But see, we're moving this now into an international situation where there are other countries around the world. I mean, there are a couple hundred nations in the world, and there are quite a few of them that are powerful enough to have had an interest in this, and they are getting fed up with the secrecy where we're using space-based weapons to target extraterrestrial vehicles and risking the security of this entire planet in the meanwhile. But that the technologies behind this information continues to be suppressed. And this is a serious problem that is being taken at the highest levels, I can assure you, by a number of governments and being looked at. So I'm optimistic that it will come out. It's a matter of exactly when and how. And I think that once we're going to see this process pick up very quickly. We're going to see more and more open events happen with our contact team. With the ETs, and we're going to see more and more open events happen like we saw at O'Hare. And what's going to happen with this, there will be more and more nations who are going to break out of this secrecy mold and support this information coming out because they're beginning to understand that the consequences of the secrecy mean the destruction of life on Earth and that this kind of secrecy is strangling the life out of Earth.
When we're talking to Dr. Stephen Greer here, and we're talking about this is a worldwide situation, any country or any particular area where it seems to be a little more freedom than here? I mean, it seems like they have a lock on it in the Western world.
Actually, there's increasing openness in a number of countries. I don't want to get into specifics because we're working on a sensitive level with a number of them. I will tell you, for example, the Honorable Paul Hellyer, who is a former Minister of Defense for Canada, has been meeting with people, and he has openly stated disclosure needs to happen and has linked the global warming and energy problem to the secrecy, which is completely accurate. I've spent a lot of time with Mr. Hellyer personally, and he's a very honorable man, and he's the kind of person, I might add, should be in the forefront as an ambassador from human civilizations to these extraterrestrial visitors. And, you know, in my new book called Hidden Truth, Forbidden Knowledge, which is a memoir of all my experiences dealing with this issue over the last 40-some years of my life, I relate this account where I was with Senator Claiborne Pell, who was the chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee of the Senate. And Senator Pell and I were at a meeting at the Sciences Institute in Sausalito, California. And Senator Pell came there that night to meet with us, and I had a conversation with him, and he wanted to go outside and have this discussion. And what happened was that Senator Pell and I turned to him and I said, you know, sir, you have been deprived of dealing with the ultimate foreign relations issue. And I pointed to the stars above our head. And he looked at me through his horn-rimmed glasses and blinked and said, well, Dr. Greer, I'm afraid you may be right. And I said, well, I am.
And it's not a laughing matter.
And it was a very poignant moment, because here was this man who epitomized noblesse oblige, who was a very nonpartisan in his perspective, who was chairman of a very powerful Senate committee, and he personally told me and my wife that he has been interested in this matter for decades, but he has never been able to get any information through channels, even with his level of contact in the U.S. government, and that this was a terrible. And I said, yes, of course, because the good people are always blocked from having this information, and we end up having, in a sense, the worst elements, who are driven by greed and power and violence, take these things over and have hijacked the human future. And I tell people, it's time that we get the human future back in the hands of the good folks.
We'll be right back, and we have a couple of more questions for Dr. Stephen Greer from the audience, and I have a few myself. This is Jerry Pippin. We're from the Aquarius Resort Hotel, and of course that's in Laughlin, Nevada, during the UFO Congress here. We'll be right back.
The biggest secret ever is about to be revealed. Fast Walkers, UFO and Alien Disclosure.
Words you were never meant to hear.
It's clear we're dealing with a cosmic Watergate.
This is the biggest secret in the history of the human race, the known modern history of government.
Photos you were never meant to see. Video you never knew existed. People you were never meant to meet.
As Jack Nicholson would say, you can't handle the truth.
Essentially everything that you would want to know has been covered up.
Things you were never meant to know about.
No one has produced a higher quality, better produced DVD. Anytime, anywhere. Fast Walkers, now available on DVD for only $19.95 at shopjerrypippin.com.